Welcome back to another broadcast of the Word for Life radio program. With me in the studio is the co-host of the broadcast, Dr. Les Olala, Chancellor of Northern Baptist Bible College. And Doc, I think today we're wrapping up our series, Living Confidently in the Midst of Our Fears. What a series it's been. I know as I've been listening to the series myself, as we've been talking together out of 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7, kind of being the anchor verse for all of this in the life of Timothy, God has used it in my own heart as I've been thinking through some of the concepts. The Lord just has a way of knowing what you need. And I know when I come into these radio times when we're together, sometimes I think the broadcasts are more for me than they are for our listeners. But it's been a blessing, and I want to thank you for it. You know, we've been talking about how to overcome our fears and live confidently. You've been sharing with us that even as Paul said to Timothy, God didn't give you a spirit of cowardice. He didn't give you a spirit that ought to shrink back from using the gift that God gave you in the place where God appointed you. And I think that's been kind of like the key idea here. And in contrast to the spirit of fear that you're demonstrating in this, God gave you a spirit of love. And we talked about the idea of love being a compassion, a spirit of power. The idea there of literally not just being compassionate, but having confidence in God. And then the ability to live consistently by concentrating on God, which was the whole idea of a sound mind. And I think that last one, that the idea of a sound mind, really kind of led us into a discussion in terms of how we typically respond to fear when it's certainly there for a long period of time and it overwhelms us and we run to this place that we create in our own mind. You call it a dream world. And it might be good to just summarize that for our listeners today.
Yeah, when we get into a negative circumstance, reality is unpleasant, responsibility is difficult. So we begin to resent reality as we see it. Then we automatically run from responsibility. We become irresponsible, and we try to hide in this dream world that we've created. We think in our mind somewhere there has to be an ideal, and that ideal is not here. That ideal is not this situation. Mm-hmm. And we think that changing of a spot is going to bring about a change of our character. No, our character has to change the spot. God has to give us the strength to maintain. Our character will prove God faithful. And the spot changes. If we leave the spot where God is trying us, then we're not going to ever learn what God is trying to do, what he's going to accomplish in us.
And so, you know, there's an interesting passage in the Old Testament that I think kind of summarizes everything we've been talking about. And it's the 46th Psalm. And, Doc, I know you're going to kind of walk us through that, but let me maybe set the background for that psalm. That psalm is actually recording in praise to God the background of a historical event that took place in the life of one of the kings of God's people who was facing a scenario where it would have been very easy for him to have run to a dream world. I mean, his reality was pretty horrible. And that reality is described in Isaiah chapter 36 and 37 when Sennacherib, the king of Assyria, came against Israel and literally parked himself outside the walls of Jerusalem and began to just mock God's people. In fact, one of his main generals, one of his main leaders, came up against God's people and in verse 4 said, "Say ye now to Hezekiah, thus saith the great king, the king of Assyria, what confidence is this wherein thou trusteth?" In other words, Hezekiah is encouraging God's people to trust in God, and Sennacherib sends his general to say, "Now, what confidence are you trusting in? Who is this God that you're trusting in?" And he goes on to say, "I say, sayest thou, but they are but vain words. I have counsel and strength for war. Now on whom dost thou trust, thou that rebellest against me? Lo, thou trustest in the staff of this broken reed of Egypt, whereon if a man lean, it will go into his hand and pierce it. So is the Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, to all that trust him. But if you say to me, we trust in the Lord our God, is it not he whose high places and whose altars Hezekiah hath taken away and said to Judah and to Jerusalem, you shall worship before this altar?" In other words, if you're thinking that Hezekiah's God is going to deliver you, he's not. I mean, Hezekiah has taken away all of his altars, not realizing that they were pagan altars. This pagan general thinks this is a really bad thing that's happened, and he's limited him to one altar. Who's your God that's going to do this? And he's literally, you know, basically trying to shake the confidence of the people, and particularly the confidence of Hezekiah.
Yeah, and the threats that are there. And look, we're Christians in the United States of America, and some of the broadcasts go outside of the United States.
Oh, yeah.
But here we are just in the United States of America, and truth is under attack. It is threatened. It is belittled. Christian broadcasting is under attack right now. And the threats that are there, who is this God that you're proclaiming? Where is your confidence? And it can be very unsettling.
Yeah, this is a good reminder for us to be much in prayer for men like Vic Eliason and stations like VCY, and because they are under attack. You're right. I mean, the whole political atmosphere is to try to shut down these kinds of voices.
Right, because we're proclaiming truth and we're putting confidence in our God. And basically, these ones who are threatening us saying, who is that God? Who is your God? What confidence do you have? And yet God showed himself mighty in the midst of this battle. And I think what you're going to look at in Psalm 46 is really a song of praise when God showed himself mighty on behalf of his people.
So let me read the psalm then, Doc, and I think you can just jump right in and take us through the key ideas here. But the psalmist said, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore will we not fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters therefore roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof. There is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her, and that right early. The heathen raged. The kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice. The earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Come, behold the works of the Lord. What desolations he hath made in the earth. He maketh wars to cease unto the ends of the earth. He breaketh the bow and cutteth the spear in sunder. He burneth the chariot in the fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us, and the God of Jacob is our refuge.
Yeah, what a comfort.
Yeah, what a text.
And we see three things that we will highlight in this. He says, I will not fear because I have a refuge. I will not faint because I have a river, symbolic of an abundance. I will not fret because I have a revelation. I have the very presence of God. So not only God's power, promise again, God's presence again, but also the promises of God that will stand. And sure, let's take these as time would allow, one thing at a time. Three things a believer can say with confidence when he faces his Sennacheribs, when he faces his circumstances, the threats against his very soul. What are these? Let's look at these one at a time. There again, we see there in verse 1, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore will we not fear.
There's our whole theme, isn't it? How to live confidently in the midst of our fears.
Yes, and here was Hezekiah threatened. He had no option but to go and lay this before God. And he said, I will not fear because I have a refuge. God is my refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Those of you who are keeping a biography of God, what a tremendous addition to put into your biography of God. Here he is a refuge. He is a strength. He is a very present help in the time of trouble. God's power is available for me. And you have the attacks, and yet where am I going to go? Am I going to just go and say, okay, I'm done?
Dream world it.
I quit. I'm leaving. And by the way, how many of God's people did that? I mean, how many of the people who were God's people did not obey? They just blended in. Daniel and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who put their confidence in God, the rest of them blended in. I mean, a lot of people in captivity. There were four that stood out who didn't bow, didn't bend, and ultimately didn't burn either when the threats came on. And the refuge. Where is my refuge? A good question to ask ourselves. What attribute of God has been an anchor point for me in the last 2 weeks of my life? If you're sitting at the kitchen table, ask yourself that question. If you're in your office, if you're driving your car down the highway, what attribute of God has been my anchor point in the last 2 weeks of my life? Or attributes, might be several. What the psalmist is saying here, he is my refuge. What is that? That's my hiding place. He is my strength. That's my empowerment. A very present help. When? In trouble. Well, those words are significant. Each one is significant. Because David knew, and these men of the Old Testament knew what it was to have that refuge, what it was to have that hiding place, what it was to have that strength that we could not produce within ourselves any longer, that was there.
So David said, I will not fear. And that really kind of was anchored in God's power, as you're saying.
Yeah, and he said, though the waters roar, in verse 3, and be troubled, and the mountains shake, there is a river, a stream whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacle of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her, and that right early. So I will not faint because I have a river. I won't fear, and I also will not faint because there is a river. And this river, symbolic of the unlimited resources of the very presence of God.
So God's power and now God's presence.
Yeah, God's in the midst of her. And yet there's an overabundance. And whenever you see the river, the stream whereof shall make glad the city of God, that is a...
Kind of makes my dream world look pretty barren.
Yeah, and it is. It makes it look very barren. And when I think I have a better plan than God does, I get myself in deeper.
So I will not fear and I will not faint. God's power and God's presence become my anchor points.
And then he said, I will not fret because I have a revelation, not only a refuge and a river, but a revelation, the promises of God. And the verse 7, the Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. But then looked on in verse 10, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. So I have the promise of God, his power, his presence, and his promise. And it keeps the fretting away. Be still.
That's an interesting phrase, isn't it?
Yeah. Take your hands off. When Moses was being pursued by the Egyptians, God says, stand still and watch.
What a tremendous way to end our series. No matter what you're facing, God says, you don't have to fear, and you don't have to faint, and you don't have to fret, because I am with you. And that really is the secret to living in a way that demonstrates confidence in the midst of our fears. I hope the series has been a blessing to you. You can download all 6 of the broadcasts from our website, www.thewordforlife.org. Until the next time that we're together, may the Lord bless you.